For 10 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
On a beautiful, rain-washed Saturday morning, welcome to my house, Rosie on the House. I'm Rosie, here with my son, Romy, co-host of the show. My wife, sweet Jennifer, who will screen your call if you'll give us a ring and you'd like to participate in the show. The number's 1-888-767-4348. My wife got really smart, and she said, let's find a way to make that easier to remember. It's 1-888-ROSIE-4-U. Rosie, R-O-S-I-E, the number 4, and the letter U. 1-888-ROSIE-4-U. Puts you in touch with broadcast headquarters. We've got our broadcast engineer, Mr. Gary D., making sure all the gauges are set at the appropriate location to get us an accurate broadcast sent back out to you. And we've been having a good amount of fun this morning. We talked about exploding galaxies and stars with Dr. Sky at 7 o'clock. A
glass planet, styrofoam.
Glass styrofoam in the aquaponics section with Chris Gardner and Greg Peterson. So we're going to talk now about your home. And it's all about your home. And if you're in Arizona, you're in a very, very good place. Arizona homes are poised to hit a new record in this coming year, okay? So we're in a great position, and we're in much better position than we were back in the early 2000s, 2006, 7, 8, 9, leading up to the Great Recession, because there's more demand than there are units to satisfy the demand. And we're going to see prices going up. You're going to be able to take a look around and decide, is this the year to maximize my profit potential and move up or move laterally or downsize, whatever you want to do. But to do that, you got to make sure the house is ready to go on the market. So in this week's article, we talk about what do we have to do to turn your house into that neighborhood head turner, that one house on the block people walking or driving through stop and say, wow, I wish mine looked that good. So we brought in some special guests, Mariah Griffin from Marvell Masonry. Mariah,
hi.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And your experience on front yards, talk to us a little bit.
I have a lot of it. I work for Marvell Masonry. I'm the executive account manager there. And I work with, I support all the major landscapers in the Phoenix Valley, and as well as dealing with homeowners and architects and designers. I kind of have insight, all the builders. I know what everybody's thinking, what everybody's doing, and have a lot of ideas.
Mariah, in your driving around the neighborhoods in helping the contractors installing various designs and meeting with homeowners and stuff, what turns your head? What catches your eye?
It's that right now linear. Everyone is doing the linear designs, and they're very modern, very different. Historically, we always had the typical three-piece pavers, the ones that we've seen over and over again. But now people are branching out. The manufacturers are making very modern, larger format pavers, just different colors, more grays and colder tones. And so when you're driving around and you see this modern architecture and these beautiful linear pavers, it's very striking.
It's a hugely manicured look.
Yes. Very clean and
very
sharp lines.
Very clean. And to me, and it is a head turner, I will turn and look and admire it. But for Rosie, I like a little bit more of the homogeneous.
Yes.
I like my house to look like it just landed in the middle of the Sonoran Desert with some greasewood over here and, you know, some ocotillo over there.
Yep.
A mesquite or two here or there.
Got to have the wagon wheel somewhere.
Got a wagon wheel. But a lot of that is just my nature. That highly linear look, and I like it. It's handsome. But it takes work.
It does. It's not the normal installation. There's a little bit more involved. You need someone who is a skilled landscaper to make it look right.
To keep it looking right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Obviously, that's the one part that you have to consider is that because it's such a clean, linear, it's almost feng shui, it does require maintenance. So there is a honeydew list involved because you can't just let it go and let it be. You've got to go out there and make sure everything stays nice and clean and manicured.
It does. It's a lot of blowing, sweeping, raking, but done and done right. It is very, very handsome. I like taking my desert museums and my Texas ebonies and my mesquites and using them as sculpture.
Yes. Yes.
Because, boy, I can't do it. but when you hire a professional to get in there and you tell them, I want this to be a piece of artwork.
Right.
And what they can do with it is astounding.
Yes, it's amazing. I mean, truly, it's very minimalist, but it is very striking because each plant is a piece of art. And they're positioned in a way with lighting and with angles and designs, and it's breathtaking. And your whole front yard space becomes a masterpiece.
The lighting really can change absolutely everything. And in the winter months, when it's dark for so long, you can really appreciate a well-lit yard. And boy, there's a lot of strategy to properly lighting a yard.
Yeah, it's a shame because it's something that's overlooked in our valley. In Phoenix, it's very important. I mean, obviously, we use our outdoor space at night more often than not. I mean, we have very, very hot months in Phoenix. And, you know, when you go outside, people spend an exorbitant amount of money. I mean, from a reasonable amount of money to a very expensive investment. And they don't light it. You want to light it up and be able to see the beauty. And light creates, you paint with light. So at night, there are certain fixtures, certain lamps, certain beam spreads and things like this that you can do where you can highlight the architecture of your home, highlight the different types of plants that actually make them come alive at night. There's even certain, believe it or not, colored lights where you would think, oh, that's going to be a little cartoonish. It's not. There's colored lights.
Done with taste. It's
handsome. Oh, my God. It's breathtaking.
Yeah.
And not only that, there are little critters that run around in our Phoenix Valley that we share this valley with. And having lights is very important when you have a senior or children to keep everything nice and lit so you don't saddle up next to Mr. Scorpion.
Yeah. And one of the things, a lot of times we'll just walk the Desert Botanical Garden, and it caught my eye maybe 10 years ago. And it was something that they called, or I later found out, was referred to as moonbeam lighting. Lights in the top of trees, little lights, not big, not big glare bombs, just little subtle lights pointing down, creating that fantastic shadow of the limbs on your walkway. And I fell instantly in love with that effect. I love that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's funny because what most people don't realize is that there's two colors of light predominantly in landscape lighting. There's a warm color, which is more of what we see naturally in our home. But when you're doing the moonlight, it's more of a white color, like what's in a fluorescent lamps in a hospital, that whiter color. So when it's used properly in the way that you're describing, Rosie, it gives this white moonlight glow to your house, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
It is. I love it. So the new linear is something that's kind of, I won't call it a fad, but it's a trend right now. It goes well with a lot of the mid-century moderns that are being redone right now. It fits very well with those. The new contemporary Spanish, it goes very well with that. But then, like I say, in my world, I like more of the natural, little less manicured look. And if there's a little creosote litter on the decomposed granite over here. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jennifer would love African violets, but I haven't got into that.
That's hard here in our valley.
They look really, really good for about 3 weeks. And the rest of the time, they just look like
a weed.
You
mean African daisies?
What did I say? Violets?
Violets, yeah.
Yeah, African daisies. You're right. Thank you. Thank you. There are several homes in our neighborhood that litter their yard with them. And right now, that's a head turner.
Yes.
Wow, that's great. But boy, when they're coming up, you think, I wish they'd get out there and weed that yard.
And there's lots of other materials. I mean, if it's something that you like a little bit more of the desert, the natural look, there's flagstones and natural stones. We actually even have a stone that is we can put on the driveway as a natural travertine, which is very, very unusual. Historically, travertine couldn't work for a driveway.
Right.
But now we have a very dense stone. And it is, you know, obviously you don't want to use too light of a product because of tire marks and things like that. But this is a more natural color to the landscape, a darker, kind of a more of a, not a really dark, but a medium brown. And we can do driveways with travertine. And that's gorgeous as well. If you're wanting your home to blend into your surroundings, there are, you know, different types of hardscapes that can do that. And again, it can fit to anybody's taste.
Well, we've been talking primarily about professionally installed designs. But folks, if you'd like to talk to Mirai about what does it take to lay pavers, what does it take to lay that dry stack retaining wall, which I would tell you is the only right way to do a garden. We'll get into that a little bit later. But folks, I've done it every way imaginable. I would never do an in-ground garden ever again. And I'll tell you why when we get back right after this. But it's 10 times the work. Mariah will talk us through setting that retaining wall up, getting the enhanced soil and the landscape and irrigation installed. And then you're not bending over as far. You're not fighting the weeds and so many other things. Now, we've talked about traveling the galaxy today. And I'll tell you, we had the super moon a couple weeks ago, driving down the road with that old Ford Raptor, opened the moon roof and just soak it up. I just love it. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I'll tell you,
where'd that little dent in the front fender of that Raptor come from?
Right hand on the Bible. That happened while I was in a coma in the hospital, so I have no idea where that came from.
Somebody was out romping the Raptor, and Daddy wasn't around.
Somebody was romping the Raptor. But folks, if you're in the market for shopping for a new car, get over to Sanderson Ford in Glendale 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. 64 years, they've been not only selling cars to you as if they were your neighbor and part of the family, but they are a huge contributor to the community. They're the kind of people you want to do business with, and they want to do business with you at Sanderson Ford.